Environment Committee on July 1st, into the second half of the year. So we'll hope that won't continue too much further. And this is really a very short hearing to consider a bill that's coming over from the Senate. And could I have a little background from our staff on Senate Bill 542?
Mr. Chair, committee members, this bill would create an environmental justice task force of 12 members appointed by the governor. The membership of the committee would include individuals informed on the principles of environmental justice, low-income communities, environmental interests, industry groups, spread throughout the geographic diversity of the state. Various natural resources agencies in state government, as defined in the bill, would be required to report annually to the task force on their efforts to address environmental justice issues. In generally speaking, environmental justice issues are considered to be a set of issues that involve environmental problems that have a disproportionately negative impact on specific populations, such as ethnic and racial minorities and low-income populations. And the sponsor of the bill is here today.
Thank you very much. All right. I didn't mention, but we are in a hearing at this point. So I'd like to call Senator Gordley to come and talk to us a little bit about her bill. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I am Avelle Gordley, and I represent wonderful neighborhoods in Senate District 23. That's Northeast and Southeast Portland. And I hope that you've all already had the occasion to see some of those neighborhoods. And if you haven't, after we have signed, he died, come up and visit Northeast and Southeast Portland. It is a pleasure, Mr. Chair, to have the opportunity to talk with you briefly about Senate Bill 542, and I am encouraging you to move into work session on this bill, which has no fiscal impact, but which also represents a decade or more of work by Oregonians focused on issues around environmental justice. You have in front of you some testimony talking points that I presented on the Senate side before Senator Ringo's committee, and I'm not going to read through all of those comments, but I do want to point out some highlights, because the talking points actually do capture the history of Oregon's work around environmental justice within its various state agencies, including the Department of Environmental Quality and the Oregon Health Division. The first point I would make that we need to be mindful of is that there is a problem with environmental discrimination in our state and in our nation. Environmental discrimination has been defined as any policy or practice that generates environmental impacts for groups or communities that are identifiable by race, color, national origin, or economic background. And this discrimination includes both the lesser enforcement of environmental standards and any practices that limit participation and decision-making by these groups or agencies, groups or communities, rather. If you look at that last paragraph on the first page of the talking points, you'll see that the Environmental Protection Agency concluded in 1992 that there is disparity, and that there are particular populations that are disproportionately impacted. African American children, for example, are disproportionately subject to high blood levels and the accompanying adverse health effects. And again, this speaks to a national problem, but it's also very much a problem that we are experiencing in Oregon, and particularly in some neighborhoods, Northeast Portland, Southeast Portland, where you have older homes and homes that need lead abatement. There are numerous studies that have found evidence that pollution-generating facilities tend to be disproportionately cited in low-income and working-class communities and communities experiencing a population shift from one ethnic group to another. There are also some issues of disparity around how sites are identified and then whether sites are actually cleaned up or not. The divestment and blight that accompanies areas with more than their share of contaminated sites leaves people of color and poor persons who live nearby in very difficult situations. These are communities that have to compete with other contaminated sites for government cleanup resources, and these sites are often neglected, receive less effective cleanups than sites in wealthier, predominantly white areas. Again, these are facts that we are faced with and challenged with, but these are also issues that we can confront and deal with effectively if we choose to do that. Continuing on page 2, at the very bottom, there's a description of the first organized effort to investigate environmental discrimination in Oregon. That came through the Oregon Environmental Equity Citizen Advisory Committee, which was put in place by then-Governor Roberts. That committee made its report to the governor. The DEQ at that time and the Oregon Health Division were actively engaged in examining how minority and low-income groups were disproportionately affected by environmental hazards, and DEQ and OHD provided some outstanding leadership around identifying environmental equity issues at that time. And again, environmental equity refers to equal protection from environmental hazards. Environmental equity refers to equal protection from environmental hazards. I needed to say that twice. The Roberts Environmental Equity Citizen Advisory Committee had 29 recommendations in 6 areas. You see them laid out there on page 3, and including exposure to household pollutants, water pollution, the cleanup of contaminated sites, et cetera. Going on to page 4. The work continued, and you had a report. I'm fast-forwarding now to the Oregon Environmental Justice Citizen Advisory Board 1998 annual report. By this time, you have Governor Kitzhaber involved in the work and giving a charge to a task force through by executive order. That advisory group came back with several recommendations, including the need to look at cumulative health impacts on communities with disproportionate environmental hazards, and also made the point that there was a need to increase involvement and to focus on what was happening in rural areas of the state as well. There was, in 1998, an opportunity for the Environmental Justice Advisory Board to gain funding through 2 grants that were available by the federal government, but unfortunately, the 1999 legislature did not allow those funds to be accepted for the board's work, and so the work was stilled. What you have in front of you in Senate Bill 542 is the opportunity to establish by statute an environmental justice task force consisting of 12 members appointed by the governor. Those positions are laid out for you on page 5. And this is a task force that would submit an annual report to the governor, setting forth, with the task force submitting an annual report setting forth its view of the progress of natural resource agencies toward achieving goals established pursuant to Section 3 in the Act. and identifying any other environmental issues that the task force would determine that need attention. The bill directs the Oregon Natural Resource Agencies to assist the task force in performance of its duties and establishes the following scope of work. And you see those laid out in 5 points, advising the governor on environmental justice issues, advising natural resource agencies on environmental justice issues, including community concerns and public participation processes. And then you can read further on the page what those other, what the additional scope of duty would include. Again, this is an opportunity to provide greater public participation in the process of identifying what are environmental justice issues, continuing environmental justice issues in the state. And it's an opportunity to give voice to citizens who are impacted by these issues. It's an opportunity for agencies charged with responding to citizen concerns to do that more effectively and in a way that's more targeted. I think the other thing I would point out is that the previous task force who've looked at these issues and have looked at these opportunities for greater civic engagement have made the point that it's important to hold hearings. I'm looking at page 6 now of the talking points. They've made a point of saying that it's so important that these natural resource agencies hold hearings at times and in locations that are convenient for people in communities, be those communities urban, rural, wherever decisions are being made that are going to impact people's lives. And again, this is an opportunity to look at some ways of working that are non-traditional and that get communities that are historically underserved better involved, better engaged with their government. Again, there's no fiscal impact. That impact was removed by amendment on the House side. And, Mr. Chair, again, I would just ask you to move into work session and move this good public policy to the House floor. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Gerard.
Not a question for the good senator, but... Are we in a public hearing or a work
yes,
session?
Public hearing.
But it says on our sheet work session.
Possible work session.
It just says work session.
That was not the intention, and I have not opened a work session. I'm sorry. That was done, I believe, by Lori rather than John, who I had called and was coming in.
Well, I'm just questioning, Mr. Chair, as to whether this is legal or not for us to do.
Without notice.
to
have a public hearing.
To do a hearing.
First time.
Without being
noticed.
I think the bill requires a public hearing, but
I think we're.
Can we not do a work session with invited testimony?
Oh yes.
No.
Which
mm-hmm.
we have.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, not until my understanding is that you cannot do that until we have had a public hearing. The first time the bill is heard on either side, it must receive a public hearing with proper notice. And I think we need to move quickly with that because this is important legislation
right.
that has to move forward.
Let me say this, that Speaker really appreciates your bringing forward this, mm-hmm. this bill, and that's why we rushed it. Representative Barnhart, I had missed the announcement yesterday at the end of the floor session, and when he brought it to me, I immediately put it into high gear. I have personally some questions that I need to clear up with the speaker, and so maybe we better go back and schedule a hearing and possible work session. I have some concerns, but I'd like to speak to you or your staff in terms of possible amendments. I have some questions in terms of the fiscal on it, because we're talking about 12 people going all over the state and funds being appropriated for that. So I need some clarification myself before I can go to work session. I was under the impression we were going to be doing a hearing. And I'm sorry for that. Representative Jensen.
Mr. Chair, I think we're under the one-hour notice now.
I think we are.
Yep. Right. And I believe we could hold a public hearing this afternoon to clarify the legality, you know, of the issue. Even if we wind up,
we could.
Have to be on the floor.
I am.
Yeah, I agree.
I am in a major hurry, leaving here this afternoon. But I was thinking possibly early Tuesday. Assume we'll all be back on Tuesday.
Mr. Chair,
is that a good assumption?
I don't think the House will be coming back until Wednesday.
Well, then we do it first thing Wednesday.
That's just a rumor.
Well, Mr. Chair, we could do it at noon. We're going to break for noon.
Yeah, we are.
Do it at 11 o'clock.
For that matter, we can do it at 11 o'clock.
Are we out at 11?
No.
We're on the floor, but we...
Oh, you mean, I see. Yeah.
Excuse this.
Yes.
Excuse me. I just got off the phone with Marlena Kennedy, who is coming down. It's her indication that we do not necessarily have to have a public hearing prior to scheduling a bill for a work session and taking final action, but she is on her way down right now from her office. We'll be here momentarily, and then we can...
And Mr. Chair...
Just got a fair amount of trouble.
And Mr. Chair, while we're waiting, and I, again, I fully appreciate all of the accommodation that is being made around hearing this this public policy. And I'm very open to entertaining any questions that you have about the measure before you here on the record, if it's regarding the fiscal impact. Yeah. There is no fiscal impact.
Maybe if you could explain to us how that was taken out. Or
initially, there would have been assigned an advocate position to staff the task force, and that was taken out of the bill with assurances from the natural resource agencies that this is work that they can accommodate through their existing budgets, and with assurances from the governor's office that this is work that is valued by this administration and work that they will find a way to support. So again, there is no fiscal impact. Over the previous decade of work, initially there was some skepticism, resistance on the part of some of the industry folk around why this was work that needed to be done, why this was work that needed to go forward. Those industry folks were invited to the table and invited to participate on the task force, and so those issues have pretty much gone away. It's a collaborative effort, we have a deeper understanding that environmental justice is something that we should all be focusing on as a state, right?
Thank you. If you would just be kind enough to wait for a moment, let me have the clerk speak to us on the issue here as to hearings and work sessions. Please, Ramona.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We're having crow for breakfast?
Not we. Hi.
Me. I think you're fine, Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm good.
My name is Ramona Kennedy. I'm Chief Clerk of the House, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. There's nothing in the rules that require a public hearing before a work session. And I think that by custom and precedence, you will also note that there are as many times when we are in the final days of session, as measures are moved from one chamber to the next, that those measures probably have had full airing in the first chamber, and by the time it reaches the second chamber, they move very quickly. In fact, with rule suspension, a measure can arrive in the House be considered and on the floor by the afternoon. And so there is no requirement of a public hearing. However, it's very much the prerogative of the chair under a work session to invite testimony from individuals to help explain, but public hearings are not required.
All right. And it does not have to be necessarily invited testimony that's incorporated into the work session?
You don't have to invite anyone if you don't want to in a work session, but I do believe that in the posting of your agendas, that to open up a public hearing or to provide the audience just generally or interested parties to partake in that would probably be not in the intent of the posted agenda, and that it does not give notice, and no one who thought that they would have an opportunity to speak on the subject may not have come to Salem to participate in that process. And so, but I do believe that if you have, particularly if you have other members of the Assembly from the Senate who has maybe information because they were privy to maybe a full-blown public hearing process, that using their information that they garnered would help you with your decision in the work session.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions of the Chief Clerk? Representative Grant.
No, just my apologies to the Chair.
Well, I think...
And mine as well.
I think several of us learned something about the rules today.
Well, Vermont is certainly the place to learn. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And, Mr. Chair, good to see you.
Yes.
And congratulations again for that honor to your father.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
And, Mr. Chair, again, just for the record and to be very clear about why I am here this morning, I was responding to the chair's invitation, which was received in writing from you, which says we are opening the Committee on Environment tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. in Hearing Room D to hear and work your Senate Bill 542. You would be more than welcome if you wish to testify on the bill. So I came with that understanding.
Sure, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I miscommunicated that. I wrote that letter after all the staff had gone home. Actually, Mr. Hauser had been looking forward to a little vacation as of today, but appreciate him coming in. I have enough insecurities as a freshman chairman that I'm not ready to move it today. I understand we are under pressure. I want to see this go. I want to see it get to the Senate immediately if we can. I have major problems today at lunch and afterwards. Mm-hmm. But what I would like to do, and I would also like, at least this has been with us for 10 years. So the issues have been discussed. But I would like to at least give some of the folks from the industry a chance to at least express where they're coming from, and I think maybe we will do that the earliest possible. If it isn't Tuesday, it will be Wednesday. It will be no later. If I personally could do it today, I would. I don't feel comfortable yet working it through. I need to speak with the speaker, but I know she is eager to see this mm-hmm. pass. Let's. I think because. We may have one or two others who will be coming to fortify your request, as well as from folks from the industry that will try and contain it to a fairly small amount of testimony focused on the main points. But with that, I think I will close what started out as a hearing and now as a work session.
And before you do that, Mr. Chair, I would also, again, I'm going to leave myself open for conversations around any issues that are outstanding for you. I look forward to having those conversations with you. And I also, I'm going to just ask on the record, I had wanted to ask you and Representative Rosenbaum to co-carry this measure to the floor. I came in with that confidence that we were going to be moving forward and with that request, and so I'm still making that request.
All right.
As you achieve your level of comfort. Thank you.
Hopefully we might be able to work something here early in the day next week, mm-hmm. and maybe even get it on the floor soon, quickly.
Excellent.
Quickly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chair. And as I read this bill, this looks like a good deal. And I like to see this bill hopefully passed out from our committee. Mm-hmm. And I like to see this one passed from the floor.
Yep.
So with your cooperation.
Okay.
I'd like to see that happen.
Representative Rosenbaum, do you think?
No, I'm very supportive of the bill and would look forward to co-carrying it with the chair.
And Representative Nolan, Vice Chair Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to move the bill to the floor today. So,
okay. Representative.
I would just join Representative Lim's remarks.
Okay. Representative Bryant, any comment?
No, my mouth is still full.
With that, we'll close. And we will...